Now, what we've got to do if we're going to build a budget is we have to figure out what our income is. Now, what our income is really simple. There's a bunch of possible sources. Most of your sources are the top four or five categories there, but I put a bunch of other things down just to remind you, you might have other income sources. Let's do a budget for a couple called Joe and Susie. Joe and Susie make $1,700. On the 1st and the 15th, Joe gets paid $850, and Susie gets paid every 2 weeks on $650. This is their take-home pay. That's what I want you to deal with, take-home pay. You haven't got anything else to budget anyway. The rest of it's a theory, okay? So whatever you've got to bring home, let's do a plan with that. Let's tell it what to do. Now, Joe and Susie, 1st and 15th, and every 2 weeks. You can already tell a problem's going to develop, can't you? Because ever so often, those 2 weeks in that 15th thing doesn't jive. How many of you get paid every 2 weeks? You know what I mean when I say twice a year you have a magic month? You get three of those checks, right? Usually around July, maybe October, depending on how your company is set up, somewhere in there, right? And somewhere in there, you're going to get a three-check month twice a year. So you need to tell in that month three checks what to do. It's not like, well, we'll take this over here and pretend like it's not in there. It's your money. Tell it what to do, okay? If you want to blow it, put it in the blow category, but at least admit it on paper, okay? So the income category, you do this every month, figure out what your income is for this month before the month begins. Now, how many of you have an irregular income? You're straight commission, self-employed, that kind of a thing. Okay, we're going to get to you in a few minutes, but I want you to follow the rest of this because you're going to need it too. I can't do a budget because I don't know what my money is. Yeah, I've got one for you. Okay, everybody, nobody gets out, okay? Everybody's going to do one. Now, the next form then is the one that trips us up. These occasional payments that aren't monthly, don't they come along and hit you in the back of the head? How many of you pay your car insurance quarterly? I used to do that for years. There's nothing wrong with that, but it used to feel like I would pay and get caught up, and about the time everything was okay, then it would come again and hit me. I was off balance all the time. You know what I mean? Because every time that thing came around, it's smacking me around. Whatever you have that is a non-monthly expense, you have to put it on the lump sum plan, and you put it in there, you divide it by 12, your annual expense, divide it by 12, and put it into your monthly plan so it doesn't sneak up on you. My home is paid for, so I have to pay out of my pocket my real estate taxes once a year. How many of you pay real estate taxes separate from your mortgage? You know what I'm talking about then. That one will sneak up and take you off the back of your head, right? Boom, right? If you're not ready. So I take it, divide that figure by 12, and put it in the budget. If you want to replace a piece of furniture, you have a 12-month plan to do that, well, that's a $600 item. We're going to divide that by 12. We have a $50 a month expenditure. We're going on a vacation. It's $1,800. When we go on that vacation, we're going to pay cash. In order to get there 12 months from today, we divide it by 12. That's $150 a month. Gifts for Christmas, hey, that's a pretty good Christmas, $1,200, right? Divided by 12 is $100 a month. Remember, Christmas is in December every year. We have to aim at that, okay? Now, your monthly cash flow plan, now here's the actual budget, okay? Here's the plan. Here's the system. Now, this is a three-page sheet. Look at it very, very carefully, okay? There's three whole pages of categories. No one but God has enough money to put something in every category. These are simply a checklist, a reminder. Make plenty of copies. You can give copies to your friends. I give you permission. I own the copyright. As long as you don't sell my budget forms, you and I will be friends, okay? Help people with them. I don't care. Be liberal with this. Enjoy this system. Take it. Help others with it. Use it. It really works. There's three pages here. Now, the idea is that we're going to spend our entire income on paper here. Now, Joe and Susie, do you remember what their monthly income for this month was take home? $3,000. So we've got to spend $3,000 on here. Now, Joe and Susie are tithing on their net, which may or may not be correct. We'll talk about that one day. And they're going to put $300 aside for charitable giving. They're going to put $50 towards their emergency fund. They're going to put $725 on their mortgage. $50, remember, they're replacing furniture from the lump sum. So see, $725 and $50 added together come to the center. You see the subtotal of $775? Ba-boom, ba-boom, move to the right. 50 and 725 is 775. Look at the utilities. Electricity, 100, 50, 50, 50. Add those four together, you get the 250 in the right-hand middle column in my example here. 600 and 100 for groceries and food is a total of 700. The total of that page is, in our example, $2,075. So again, we're giving every dollar a name throughout the month here. We're going to spend the whole $3,000 in these three pages. Now, if you look carefully at the next page, at the bottom of it, you will see the blow category. You need to fund the blow category. You need to fund the blow category for two reasons. One is it's real. You're going to blow money, and you need to plan to blow money. Things aren't going to work exactly as they do on paper. This is your slush fund. This is your grease that makes the machine roll. You need to blow some money. I know some couples that do a his and her blow envelope. That's okay, as long as you're doing it on purpose. And you need to put something in the blow category. This thing of thinking everything works perfectly with no room for movement just creates friction. You need some grease in there and let this thing work. The second reason you need a blow category is it is in memory of your former plan. Now you take the third page of that, and you'll notice at the bottom you have totals. Page 3, 2, and 1, total, for a grand total of exactly what the income is. So if you'll notice, remember from the first page, we had a total of $2,075. We made up totals for the other two pages of $405.25. It has to add up to exactly $3,000. Income minus outgo, you see the zero is printed in there. Okay? Income minus outgo has to be zero. Well, what if it's not? Well, you go back and unspend something, or you go back and spend something. If you get to the bottom and you only have spent $2,900 and you have $3,000, you have to go back and give that other $100 a name. I had one guy come in and he said, "Look, Dave, I got $479 left over. I won." No, you didn't get it. Okay? Because if you leave $479 in your checking account without a name on it, the termites will carry it off, right? I mean, it just disappears, doesn't it? Have no idea where that money went. Unaccounted money. If you're going to blow it, at least admit it. If you're going to blow it, at least admit it out loud. Now that we've built the overall monthly budget, let's look at what some of the percentages are. Now, some of you nerds need to be careful with this sheet. Some of you nerds take this sheet way too seriously. This is recommended. This doesn't mean life on the planet's going to come to an end. Dave, like I added it up, and look at housing, Dave. You've got 25 to 35% of my take-home pay should be housing. My housing's 36%. Do I have to sell my house, Dave? You nerd. Lighten up a little bit. It's an idea. It's a concept. It's a range, okay? But the idea here being is, if you look at transportation and you see 10 to 15% and your car payments are running 30 or 40% of your income, there might be a problem, okay? It's an indicator. I remember counseling with a little couple who said God had given them a car. Even the finance manager said it was a miracle. Their car payment on a $1,200 take-home pay was $600. And I said, "You need to sell the car." "Well, I thought you were a Christian counselor. Don't you understand? God gave us this car, honey. God did not give you this car." I am sure of that scripturally. "How do you know?" "Because the scripture says the blessings of the Lord have no sorrow added to them." "This looks sorrowful to me." "Well, you mean we really need to sell this car?" I said, "Honey, it's 50% of your take-home pay. You either need to sell it or make plans to move into it." "You're mean." No, I'm saying out loud what should have been said at the car dealer. "You can't afford this car." That's what this recommended percentages does. If you're way over on one of those, let that be a bell going off and saying something may need to change here, gang. Okay? Now, allocated spending plan. This is sheet 7. This sheet is also 3 pages, and it is just like sheet 5 category-wise. The only difference is, not only are we going to spend your entire income on paper before the month begins, now we're going to take each week and spend that week's check on paper. If you only get paid once a month, you don't need to do this, okay? If you get paid more than once a month, though, you need to break it down and spend every check on paper. It'll take you just a few minutes. The way this works is you go to the left of the slash with the expense. The right of the slash is your remaining balance in that pay period. Let's look at Joe and Susie. You remember they got paid 1st and 15th and every 2 weeks. Susie gets her paycheck on the 1st for $650. She gets paid on the 1st and 15th. This is August as an example, okay? $650 minus $75 in charitable leaves to the right $575. Shake your head if you see that, okay? $575 minus $50 leaves $525. $525 minus $50 down at Replace Furniture leaves $475. $475 minus $100 for electricity leaves $375. Do you see how I'm doing that? I'm spending her check right down that column. Now you go to 8-8. Now she doesn't get paid that week, but Joe does. He gets his $850. We're going to spend that. We pick up the house payment there. $750 out of that $850 leaves $100. $100 minus $50 for the phone leaves $50. $50 minus $25 leaves $25. And again, we've spent that week on paper. Are you beginning to get the idea? Please say yes.
Yes.
Good. Now, on the third column, 8-15, that's the week they both got paid. And you notice the fourth column, they don't get any money. See how that funny 1st and 15th and every 2 weeks thing works, right? Okay. And you line it up and you know, all you got to do is look at this month's calendar. You can tell when you're going to get your checks. And you give every one of those dollars a name for the week. And you take sheet 5 and you superimpose it over onto the same three pages here on sheet 7. And it's all laid out before the month begins. Now, the only thing that changes is if you change something in the middle of the month. And if you change something, if you raise a category, because we're going to spend more on restaurants, then we have to lower another category because, remember, we have spent it all. If we just raise one category and we don't lower something else, we've busted the budget or we've gone into debt. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Good. Three people got it. Okay, now. Irregular income planning. If you are straight commissioned, if you are self-employed, this is your form. I have lived on this form most of my life. How many of you have a salary in your household, but also in addition to a salary, have some irregular income of some kind? Some bonuses or commissions. Okay, a lot of people have that. How many of you just have irregular income? See, a lot of people have that. Now, we live just irregular income on this off of a yellow pad for years. All this is, you make a list of the things that you couldn't get in your salaried income. You did all you could with your salaried income, but you got things you want to do in addition to that. Okay? You wanted to go on a trip that you couldn't afford in the salaried income. You wanted to pay more on the debt that you couldn't afford in the salaried income. For those of us that are pure straight commission or self-employed, it's all on this sheet. And you use sheet 5 to kind of look at this one and remind you what to do. All this is you make a list of the things that didn't make the cut, the line, they were below the line on the other budget. They didn't make it. They need to be done, but they priority-wise were lower on the list. You make a list of those things. Now, Joe and Susie have a few debts that they want to take care of, and Joe gets a quarterly bonus based on profits in his corporation with our pretend couple. And what they're going to do is then list these things that didn't make a cut by order of priority. Whatever they think the priorities are, they decide the priority. They decide in advance what is important and in what order. Put it in the order that you want it done. They did that. They decided they wanted to pay off their smallest debt, which was a JCPenney's card of $150. Then they wanted to pay off their Sears card, and Susie really wants a couch, so they saved half of the money toward the couch. Then the vacation, they wanted to save some towards Christmas, and once they got all that done, if they had some more, they wanted to knock off that little Visa card that they owe $500 on. This is an example of what they wanted to do after they had done their other things. Now, if you'll notice on the far right-hand column of that form, you see a running total. Penny's at $150 plus Sears is $250, if you look to the right, is $400. Plus $500 for half a couch is $900. Plus $200 is $1,100. The right-hand column is a cumulative running total. Do you see what I'm saying? Say yes.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Now, that means if you get a bonus check in for $950, what are we going to pay? Pennies, Sears, half a couch and 50 towards vacation. See, your money's already spent on paper before the month begins. Even if you don't know what it is, as far down that list as it will go, it's already spent. So always write the list longer than your irregular income is going to be. If whether it's giving or extra savings or just wealth building or paying off the house, I mean, whatever, it could get real bizarre down at the bottom, right? But always make that list longer than you can get to this month. So if you have a surprisingly good month, it doesn't run off the page. Okay? You need to give every dollar a name before the month begins, even if you have an irregular income. Now, this is one of my favorite forms. This is the breakdown of savings form. Now, too many people do what I call the traditional savings account. We know we need to be saving money, so we have a savings account. And what ends up happening is we put money in the savings account until we find something we want to impulse on that's really big. We build it up and blow it, build it up and blow it, because we don't have a plan. And what happens is if you blow it out on Christmas, then when it's time to go on vacation, you have no money. If you blow it out on the vacation, when it comes time for Christmas, you put it on the credit card. If you don't have a game plan and tell your savings what it is. See, savings should never be miscellaneous other than the emergency fund, and that's not miscellaneous. That's for emergencies, okay? So every dollar in your savings account needs to have a mission statement. It needs to have a goal. It needs to be labeled. I don't care what you label it, but you tell it what it is. You could have an impulse category in your breakdown of savings, a blow category there, right there under other if you want. I fully intend to blow $1,000 and I'm going to save up and do that on purpose. I don't care as long as you do it on purpose, okay? That's the big thing. It's this accidental money management stuff that I'm sick of and then wake up at retirement broke and expect to tax me to pay for your stupidity, okay? I'm tired of this stuff. It's time we got on top of this and decided we're going to handle this stuff. Most of you will handle millions and millions of dollars in your lifetime. You have to tell it what to do or it will leave you. There's no way around that. Now, the way this works is each month you do a column. Now, if you'll notice at the bottom, there's a total. Joe and Susie had $2,200 in September. They had $2,500 in October. They had $2,800 in November. Now, $2,800 sounds like a lot of money, but not if you understand that some of it is set aside for the dentist because we have some upcoming braces. Okay? Not if you understand some of that is set aside for vacations. Now let me tell you, if you go on vacation and you go on a cruise and spend $2,800 and pay cash for it, you were still unwise in this scenario because that means you can't have Christmas, no braces, and you'll never get to replace the furniture. You're living in a dream world. That's not going to happen. You're going to end up going in debt for the rest of it. Okay? Now can you move some things around in here on purpose? You bet. This is why this is my favorite sheet. Let me tell you what happened at my house, okay? Sharon really needed a china cabinet. Now, I don't understand china cabinets. I don't understand china that we don't use, and I really do not understand a $2,000 cabinet to put it in. I just don't get it, okay? I'm a guy. It's a guy thing, okay? I don't understand this concept. But she wanted a china cabinet, and our furniture fund did not have enough money in it. We had the money set aside to go on a snow ski trip. Ha! Can you imagine that? And in the vacation fund. Well, there's a guy's snow ski trip coming up at church, right? And I wanted to go on the guy's snow ski trip, but I wasn't going to say anything because this is our family vacation money, and so there we go. So she comes up with this brilliant idea. She's going to move her portion of the snow ski trip over into furniture. She buys the china cabinet, and I get to go snow skiing with the guys, and I'm a hero. I love this form. I love this form, okay? See, think about this. What this created was communication and give and take in my marriage. And every marriage needs communication and give and take. It gave us a basis rather than all this power struggle and back and forth. You start to figure out ways to do a win-win negotiation at home. Now, the debt snowball form will be covered in the debt lesson. And there is a form for those of you that are struggling called the pro rata plan form. And that will be covered in our collections lesson. So be sure not to miss either one of those. Those are very, very important forms.